Of course, I'd never put millions.
I would never put millions, but I would just throw millions at a bunch of product that then becomes garbage.
But listen,
that's
hold
all.
On, hold on. My bracelet just got ruined.
Oh no! Okay, Mona's gonna be crying.
Why don't we just spend $1 million tomorrow?
This is the Aaron Cordovez Show.
Winnie, do you consider me an organized person?
No.
So then what
actually,
what
it depends on which aspect.
Okay.
Because on the subject of, actually, I really don't know for sure because I've never looked inside.
You don't know if I'm organized.
No, in regards to computer, like inside of your computer, like your desktop, I've noticed that you keep your desktop of your computer very organized and your files.
Your desktop is a mess.
I know.
A mess of all messes.
I know.
It's a disaster. So, and your email is even worse.
I know.
Your email, guys, the other day I literally went through email. I use the app called Superhuman. It's a great app that gets you to like mass delete and mass unsubscribe and spam. 8,000 emails in like 2 hours and a half, just deleting. You buy a lot of stuff on direct to consumer websites. Like websites, you buy a lot of stuff and you get a lot of spam and you leave it there.
Yeah. I don't want to deal with it.
Well, I don't want to deal with my clothes on the floor.
Right. So the thing is that I help you with your clothes on the floor and you help me with my emails. So yeah, we all have our strengths and weaknesses. So you have a strength of being very organized in the computer, on your desktop, in your files, in your emails, in your
Right now I'm a little bit back on the emails. I need to actually spend some time on that, but
right.
But I'm pretty good at it, I think.
I think you are.
But what about like the physical space, like the closet space and like the lawn and the car?
Oh, no. I've learned that I'm not going to expect things like that out of Aaron. And even from a very early point in our relationship, I already knew that he was a little bit disorganized on the physical like clothing department. And I think that's not an unusual thing for guys, but
depends. I mean, so if we're talking about this, but what does it mean then to be organized for you? Like, what does that mean, organization? Like, what does that even mean?
Putting shirts where they go, putting your underwear and socks where they go, putting like, okay. And if you start something, finish what you started. Don't stop in the middle and then forget about what you did in the middle and then go do something else and then come back to this and then do this again. Start changing and stopping on one thing. If you start something, take it all the way through to a done. And then do the other thing that you thought of while you were doing that and not stop in the middle of doing that first action to go do the second action and then get back to the first action, because it actually causes double work and it takes longer in the end.
You know, I don't have the physical things like organized. Like my shoes pretty much are everywhere. My socks end up everywhere. But I don't find it to be that important. I just don't. Like, I don't care where my socks go.
Right. But then if you, in the end, don't have any socks left because you don't know where they are.
Then you buy another pair.
Right.
You buy another bunch.
Right.
No, sorry. You were saying.
So, I don't know. It's just like if you, I know that you may not really care so much about all of your articles of clothing or your watch or your pen, but I can't tell you how many times you didn't know where your pen was.
Oh, yeah, I lost it many times.
Yeah.
I mean, it's cost me at least, $1,500 in pens.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. And then also, how many hours did it take for you to, like, remember, look around, where is the pen, right? And then if you count up that time also wasted on looking for that item.
Yeah.
And then you knew exactly where it was and you always put it back in the same exact spot, then you're never going to have to look for it. You're going to know where it is because it's in its spot.
There's a guiding force somewhere that prevents me from putting things always back in the right place. I don't know, but it exists. It's somewhere. Because I've tried. I've tried to make the decision. I'm going to always leave my keys here. I'm going to leave my wallet here. It never happens. It just doesn't happen. But it hasn't been a problem. Like, I don't know. Can I tell you what I think organization, where it's important?
I would love to hear it.
Okay. Organization of time is important. Mm-hmm. For me, if you organize your day, meaning you set the slots of the things you got to get done. Like this morning, I started the day with, I need to do these three things. And they've gotten done surprisingly fast because I said, this is what I'm going to do. This is the time. And it happened because there's a, the time was organized. It was like delineated of the things that are important. Mm-hmm. So that, for me, that kind of organization is very important.
Right.
Because it's your plan. It's your whole day. It's basically your life. Mm-hmm. Now, I just don't think about putting things back always in the same spot. That's, I don't know. For me, that's not super important. But I don't know. What about you? Do you plan? How do you plan your days?
I have a calendar on my phone. It gives me any like urgent things that I have to get done in a specific day. Other than that, we have a meeting and we see what needs to be done that day. If there's any areas that are lacking that need some help or needs love or needs debugging to get a product through to a done, then I'll go into those areas and that's where I get my direction from. And then also
from other people. So it's a reactionary sort of thing. You don't like creating what's going to happen that day. You're seeing what other people will bring to you that has to be done mostly.
Well, based on the information that I get, yes. Or if there's other things that I hadn't finished from the previous day, then I have to do it in that day.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah. I generally try to not focus a lot of time on the problems. I try to ignore problems and I try to make, what are the exciting things? What's going to happen in the next month or 3 months, or how can we change?
No, I try to find the problems. I try to find where the hiccups are on the production line and where, what needs to be handled so that we can get the production done in a smooth manner or to get the production out at all. You're more the dreamer and I'm the executor.
I thought you were going to say executioner.
I was going to say that.
People often ask me, hey, can I sit down with you one-on-one? Let me pick your brain, get whatever info from you on how to sell on Amazon, how to get started. Well, guess what? You can sit one-on-one with me for more than 3 hours on my mini course, aaroncordovas.com/start. And I will sit down with you one-on-one and give you all the info that I think you need to get started on Amazon. Hey, if you've been on Amazon, you have success, it must have come into your mind to see, how much is my business worth? How much could I sell it for today? If you want to get a valuation from us, we know what is very valuable in Amazon companies. Go to aaroncordovas.com/valuation and we will tell you what we would buy it for. And if we put an offer, we close. We will close cash up front and a huge back end for you to get money as the brand continues to grow. aaroncordovas.com/valuation. Have you
always worked that way? Like, what about when you were working like the 9-to-5? Did you get the tasks and then you do them? Or did you kind of imagine things how that should be?
It was a coordination point of what needed to be done and where the company was going and an overall, like where we were going and what the intention was for scaling and how.
But you're basically was. Told these are the tasks that need to be worked on mostly. Mm-hmm. That's generally how you've worked. Mm-hmm. You know, maybe I got in trouble before because when I was, I'm never happy with just getting tasks given to me. I don't know why, mm-hmm. but I feel like everything can improve and I like to imagine how things could be as opposed to the things the way that they are. Mm-hmm. And so if you look at how things could be, then I'm always trying to change. It's a bit of a disruption. I kind of like the disruption.
That's really funny. You do. You disrupt the entirety of the Amazon, you know, market in the frother industry.
Yeah, we're working on the next one. I found, you know what's correct? We just found, did you know there's a new stat, and maybe it's too geeky for you. You're not going to really care too much, but you can see how good your closing ratio, how much you close a customer. It's called the conversion rate.
Right.
You could see your industry average. You can see your average in a category versus the industry median. Mm-hmm. And for our best products, we have twice as good as the median.
Okay.
And our crap products are like half of the median.
Interesting, huh?
So it's crazy that data is there. So you go, oh my gosh, there's so much room to go here where you literally can convert 3 times more of the people. I mean, the page is total ass.
Right.
and you could shift it and you go, how can we get to the next one and this? And anyway, that's new data. We're just, I mean, it's not that new, but it's relatively new. But I'm always thinking of like, what if you do something so crazy that you could sell more than anybody, or a new product, or like a new way to reach mom and pop shops. You know, the mom and pop shops, none of them really care what like kitchenware they have. There's no like big kitchenware brand that's like, oh my gosh, the new blah. They come and they go.
Right.
Or they're not really marketing or doing influencer stuff. It's like really like kind of commodity. So I imagine what it would be like if we had, I don't know, imagine a $300,000 of ad spend, which could reach, I don't know, 3 million people or something every single day that see our stuff. And then their stuff is in all the stores everywhere across the entire United States. And then anytime you go into a store, boom, we're on their mind and they grab the thing because it's already in the store. So you reach every store and you advertise like no one has ever advertised. And that's something that's no one's done before. At least not like in the kitchenware. Mm-hmm. So I'm like, hey, how do we achieve that? Who do we need to hire? This is an organization to me is, there's an idea. Now, how do you put the things in place to make that become a reality?
Now, who needs to be in place? Yeah, for me, I would work back from that idea. Okay, how many stores are you targeting? First find out how many stores that you are working with.
50,000.
So there's 50,000 stores?
Let's just say.
Okay. I would first do a proof of concept.
Yeah.
Before I would move forward with that idea. Do it successfully with, let's say, 50.
We're doing that.
Geo-targeting.
With the ads. In one area. With the ads.
Yes. Yeah. Before investing millions and millions into ads.
Oh, of course. I'd never put the millions.
I would never put millions, but I would just throw millions at a bunch of product that then becomes garbage. But listen,
hold on. Where I said $1 million a day.
Then Whitney has to go and wholesale and liquidate.
That's not true. Hold on. Listen. Hold on. Listen. $1 million a day of ad spend.
So I would never do that.
The products that we've, $4 million of product that you're talking about.
I'll run ads every single day to products that I know that the pages are not actually optimized. We can continue to run ads too, but you know that the ads aren't even converting very well. But you keep them on just because nobody actually does that work of handling the ads.
My bracelet just got ruined.
Oh no! Okay, Luna's going to be crying.
No, we'll fix it.
Well, Which one is that?
I don't know. It broke. Oh. You were screaming so loud the bracelet cracked. It freaking cracked under the pressure. This thing got a whippany. So the products and scale. So I have to say, it all is always scaled.
Yeah.
You start with one product and the next one. When you handle 300, then you add another 100. And that's how it happened. Mm-hmm. It was just like I don't know, 4 months of inventory. It wasn't like some crazy thing. I'm just saying, you like always to bring up that one example, but that was actually, there was a little bit of a stretch, but it wasn't a lot. Right now, it wasn't from $0 to like multiple millions. It's already happening. Now we add another 15%. That was it.
Okay.
Do you realize that or no?
It's okay, Aaron.
Do you want to talk about the numbers?
No.
I know you don't want to talk about the numbers. Okay, good. So anyway, the point is organization is figuring out what are the steps that need to be in place, the people that need to be in place, the processes, all these different things. And when they're in place and you have that functioning smoothly, then you get the thing that you want.
That's right.
That's organization to me.
That's good.
What about for you?
I agree.
Oh. I thought you were just saying that it's not like that way. You want to do some, you said you're talking about something scaling.
Proof of concept.
Okay, so tell me what has that worked then? What does that mean?
It's kind of similar to what you were just saying.
Yeah.
But you were mentioning to me wanting to also do ads on top of it.
Of course.
To drive people into, I guess,
stores.
Stores, right?
And online, both. Actually, people, if you even drive them to your own website. So right now we don't do advertising broadly. Okay, mm-hmm. Like if you look at a brand like Mary Ruth Organics, they spend hundreds of thousands of dollars, I think, per day. Hundreds of thousands of dollars per day on general advertising.
You mean radio and TV?
Facebook, TikTok, Instagram, social media. Now, through that, everybody's thinking about them. Then when they go into the stores at Whole Foods, oh, I recognize that brand.
Right.
And they'll buy it. It's not specifically a Whole Foods focused ad. But right now we exist just our brands, almost all of our brands, pretty much exist 95% just on Amazon. Mm-hmm. So if you go into the store, they may not know about us.
But if you advertise really strongly to your website, now they're thinking about you. Then when they go to the store, they go, oh, why would somebody want to buy some other random kitchenware person when they know Zulai Kitchen's been in their face, talking to them, telling them the stuff, testimonials, all this kind of stuff. Mm-hmm. So that's what Mary Ruth Organics does. So they push so hard on the direct-to-consumer side on their website that when they got into retail, all the customers already seen their ads. Because they reached the entire United States in like 30 days. The amount of people who see their stuff.
It's great.
So that's like what I'm talking about.
I wonder, spending. You know, also, I'm just wondering how they have the margin to do that. Because well, currently with our... Yeah, exactly.
It's like 50% margin.
Because they have their own supplements. Like we are in kitchen and our margin is like 12%.
No, but that's net, Whitney. That's you want to talk about margin. Our margin is not our like normal margin for products. It's more like 30, 35. Before expenses. Like the scaling. If we were to sell,
I mean like the profit at the end of the day.
Well, even theirs, maybe theirs is 20. It's not like 30 or anything like that. But at the end of the day, that's fine. As long as it's overall growing, going up, and it's okay. I don't know what the margins are, by the way. It could be 10, it could be 20.
Yeah, I don't know.
As long as it brings more profit, then it's all good. Don't you think?
Yeah, for sure.
Depends what?
If it brings more profit, yeah.
Yeah. So if we could spend $1 million in a day, you would approve it, right? Basically tomorrow.
No, I wouldn't.
Tomorrow.
For sure, no.
Let's spend it tomorrow. Why don't we just spend $1 million tomorrow?
I would want to see first the effectiveness of the campaigns and test it first.
Okay, so first 500,000.
No. You're just pulling my leg. Aaron. You're just trying to see how much it will take for me to yell at you.
No, I already saw that. I already saw it. It wasn't very much. Anyway, so I just want to basically give the message to people, like, if you are not like organized, someone calls you messy or whatever. Listen, my room is messy. Everything's really like horrible.
When he was a kid, he would like literally not even take a shower.
That's true also. That's true. I showered probably like once every 5 days.
Right.
So. Well, maybe not. I actually don't even remember. Maybe every 3 days. I don't know. 3 days, 4 days. It depends on what stage of my childhood.
Even brushing the teeth.
Brushing the teeth. I didn't know that you need to brush your teeth until I had like 30 cavities.
Right.
And I said, oh, I'm supposed to brush. My mom used to ask me, you know what? Here, my mom would ask me. So we're going to talk about organization and brushing the teeth. I didn't really know the importance of
it. And putting your clothes away?
That one I still don't know.
And making your bed? These are all very basics of life.
Well, I don't know. Making the bed. There's that one
video.
Make
your bed every single day. It's like part of your daily activity.
Well, but when you basically...
It's called discipline, Aaron. I know. Discipline.
I have discipline to answer my emails. So some people don't answer the emails and some people don't make their bed.
Oh my God.
So I'm one that doesn't make their bed. So my mom used to ask me, like, when's the last time you brush your teeth? And then my answer, so I wouldn't lie to her. Well, I was lying to her, but it was an acceptable lie for me. I'll say, like, I'm not sure. So then she'd ask me, like, did you brush your teeth yesterday? I'd be like, no. Did you brush your teeth the day before? No. What about the day before? And if I knew I hadn't, I'm like, well, I'm like, I'm not sure. Like, I don't know. And then, so basically that was how it would go. And then she'd be like, just go brush your teeth now. I'm like, okay. And then I'd go brush my teeth. But it's before you're interested in girls, before, like, there's no, like, I don't know, for me being clean was a waste of time. I had things to do, TV shows to watch, you know what mm-hmm. I mean?
So my life was very different.
Yeah, tell me.
I was the oldest of four children. My mom was working all the time and so was my dad. And, like, school would get out at around, 3, and then there was after school until 5, and my parents wouldn't come home until 7. So most days I'd be doing the lunches and getting the kids ready, getting them to school, making them take showers and brush their teeth, and I would do all the laundry for the whole family, which was like basically 6 people. My grandma was living with us. She would help a lot, which was very nice, but then she went back to Iran, so then I didn't have her anymore helping me. But anyways, it was definitely a lot of work, and I had all the responsibility of, like, you know, taking care of everything. And so I didn't really have the luxury of not putting things away. Because how are you physically going to be able to handle all that if you have things everywhere? You can't find... If you have 4 kids, including yourself, to get ready to go to school in the morning, and nobody's personal possessions are put in the right place, it's going to take you double, if not triple, the time to get ready in the morning. So it wasn't really an option to have each person be a slob. And the only person out of all of us that was a slob was my sister. and I
hey,
had
hey,
to...
Hey, 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 don't throw her under the bus.
And then, but then I had to help her, and then, you know...
You should blur that. You should beep it out.
Your sister just put a beep. My sister, just beep it. So the only person that I had to help was one of my sisters, and I would go in her room and fully organize it, and then she'd be like freaking out, saying, "I can't find anything, Whitney. What did you do?" But
you organized it. For
I
her.
Did. I organized it for her. But she... for her, organization was literally clothes and shoes and toys up to your knees when you walked in her room.
But if you know where all was, wouldn't that be organization?
But she knew where everything was.
So it was organized.
For her, it was organized.
You did. You made it disorganized.
For me.
You messed it up.
Yeah, for me, it made my hair stand on edge.
I know, but it was organization. Yes. It's things where they go for you.
So then after she got really upset at me for doing that. Because
you disorganized her room.
I decided I was just, as long as you keep the door closed, I will not touch your room. But if you open the door and I see it, I will have to handle it.
Nice.
So I didn't have the luxury of not being organized.
Right.
Because it would have taken me triple the amount of time to do what I had to do.
Right. No, that's, I understand that. So that's important. I just had to get myself ready. So, and it wasn't a big deal for me. You know, when I get the kids ready, when I do, get them out of the house and this, and it's such a struggle. Do you know, in my house, it wasn't like that. We had full autonomy. My mom would say, "You guys are going to be ready in the car, good to go at 7:20 or whatever it was." Mm-hmm. And we were ready always. Like, we were there. We would show up. Because otherwise, we would get our asses handed to us hard. Bedtime was the same thing. 9 o'clock. Later on, it became 10 o'clock. Like, if my mom ever saw us awake or anywhere, any 1 minute after 10, we would get our fucking heads chopped.
Wow.
Like, it was intense. We were scared. I was so freaked out. Like, oh my gosh, it's 9:58. I didn't brush my teeth. Okay, I'm just going to go lay in bed. No. So listen. So I would run and I would be like, even if I wasn't sleeping, I'd like go under the covers and hide, because I knew if I was awake after 10, I was going to hear it. It was going to be a massive problem. And it was very uncomfortable. So she never put me to bed. She never... "Let's put your pajamas on. Let's just..." No. Reading in bed, I never got read a bed in bed. Like, ever. My mom did a bunch of parties and stuff. We'd go. She'd have me, bring 5 people over and sleepovers, whatever. Going out, taking out to Disney and this. She'd bring, 20 people in an RV. We'd go up to Disney. We'd have fun. But night times, there's no bedtime routine. This did not exist for me.
Yeah.
So now I just find it so different. It's such a different culture in our own family.
Yeah, your mom is very different.
It's also a single mom. It's much, much different.
Yeah, she didn't have...
You just doesn't have the luxury, right, of all that. I mean, I guess maybe she could have.
She was normally working until 10 o'clock at night. She was working. You know, I don't know. It's a very different scenario.
Yeah, but it was organized because the kids, meaning me and my brother, would go to bed on the time we're supposed to go to bed.
Right.
And wake up, and she would tell me, some of her friend, like later on when I was an adult, she would tell me, like, her friends at the time would tell her, "How do you get your kids to bed? Because my kid, they're sleeping in school and this and blah and whatever, and they're not learning and whatever." And it's like, your kids need to go to sleep. And you tell them the time and you, whatever. She would tell her friends, like, you just make it happen. And I guess people didn't know how to do that, and they always had trouble, but not in our family. We had a freaking bedtime. Anyway, what was it? Did you put your siblings to bed or what?
Well, my mom came home at 7.
Yeah.
So she did put them to bed.
Oh, good. So you don't have to do that part.
But when she wasn't there, yeah. She was gone, in Los Angeles. We lived in San Francisco. She was studying some stuff. But she was gone for about a year, maybe 2. And during that period, yeah, I was helping my dad put the kids to bed.
So that wasn't just like everyone's to bed at one time. It was not military style like my mom, huh? It was more like,
No, it was Arthur first, then Olivia, then Emily. Yeah. And me. Emily and me would go to bed at the same time.
So you would put them in bed? Did you read them stories or anything?
Definitely not.
No.
Mm-mm. Mm-mm.
So what was it like? You just go to bed? You just scream at them until they go to bed?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so that's how it happens in our house right now.
No, we don't scream at them until they go to bed.
No, we do not. We do not. I agree with you. Anyway, so...
No, that's all good. That is not true.
Never?
I'm not going to say never, okay, but okay, definitely not the majority of times. No,
of course it's true, not the majority. I would agree.
I would say maybe once a week there is that. And that's only to Luna, because Luna's the only one who doesn't listen. She's the only one out of all of them that doesn't want to go to sleep. The others actually love sleep. Violet loves sleep. She definitely goes to sleep.
It's true.
And I don't yell at her about going to sleep.
Yeah.
Ever. Okay. Only sometimes.
Okay, good. Good thing. Anyway, it's all good. Like, at the end of the day, I got yelled at like crazy all the time. Like, again, it was like military. It was like, you know, you wake up with the horn, the thing, it was like, if it was a red alert. So anyway, I think that's part of organization, where you set a standard and then you can keep it. Mm-hmm. And you set, these
In
are
fact,
things to
Aaron,
do that
you know,
need.
It's way easier to get the kids to bed when you are not there.
Yeah.
I've told you that before, because you like to play.
It's true.
Instead of putting the kids to bed, he likes to like rile them up. He'll like throw Kai upside down and shake him like this. And then he's like, okay. I was like, it's time to put him to bed. Oh, okay. Oh, let me shake him up a little bit for you.
Well, like, throw him in the air.
And then he's excited.
Throw him in the air. Like,
it's like, thanks, Aaron. You know. That doesn't help me. And then same with Violet.
It's worth
it. Oh, it's bedtime, Violet. Oh, okay. Now I'll take you out for a bike ride.
Like, oh, God. It's perfect. Because you see,
it doesn't make my life
easier. It's called organization.
All.
Because dad's.
It's not organization.
My job, I do the thing I'm supposed to do, which is have fun with the kids, right? You play with the kids.
When
that's
I say
my job.
Bedtime.
That's
when
my
it's,
job.
When I say.
No, but no, you could always be extended. You could extend the bedtime. Anyway, okay. I just want to briefly talk about that. Don't beat yourself up if you're not the most perfectly organized person, because you organize things the way that you need
to. Because you're lovely. You're lovely just the way you are. That's why.
There you go.
No matter how. And you know what? I knew that you were not totally organized in the physical aspect of this universe when I married you. I already knew that. And everybody has their plus points and out points. I have out points. I hate the handling all my computer organization stuff.
It's true. If I like, anyway, we won't get into that right now. But yeah, we assist each other.
All my passwords and all that stuff. Oh my gosh.
Yeah. So anyway, guys, don't beat yourself up. Organization, you set up things to how they're going to help you get the things you want to get done. And if you don't really care about the laundry being all done so you can wear the exact shirt you want it to wear, then it's like, I don't know. I don't think you have to have everything so perfect. Maybe my mind will change. I'm not saying I'm right about this. It's just the way that I've done it, and it hasn't been a problem to achieve some level of financial
success.
Yeah,
but you know, if I wasn't in your life, there would be no gardener. The grass would be like everywhere. The house would probably look like
I probably would be like in an apartment, to be honest.
Right.
Because I don't want to deal with a condo, whatever. I don't want to deal with the lawn and the trees and the blah, and like, I just don't know. I would probably just be in a condo, right? If you know what I mean. Yeah. And that way someone just handles it.
Right.
But
it's true.
It depends on what you want. So, right. So if you really care about, let's say, doing Amazon, an organization would be, hey, every day from 10 to 11:30, no matter what, you sit down and you work on it and you do something. Well, how are you going to move on it? You either make your product go forward, you make it promoted in a different way, you make the ads a little bit better, you make the page a little bit better, you add some different keywords, and you work on that. And you don't let something else come in the way and take over. You work on the things that you know are going to bring you forward. And for me, that's organization of time and what's getting you toward your goal. Mm-hmm. And similarly, there's a story of Jerry Seinfeld, right? One of the biggest comedians of all time. And he says, listen, to write jokes and skits or whatever, I make it from, I don't know, 10 in the morning till noon. And he says, I don't force myself. I don't have to write. But he says, I don't have to write, but I can't do anything else. So I sit in a room, and if he doesn't feel like writing, he could just do nothing. But he can't be on the phone, can't do this, can't do TV, can't, nothing. Zero other activities, meetings, nothing. So at that point, you're like, oh, might as well just write. Or you just take a break for a few minutes. You're like, I'm wasting my time. I'm wasting my time. Do it. But that's called organization, because you're putting things in a certain way so it's going to achieve the result that you want. And then there you go. You are all these amazing things. So it's like, I think that is the most important thing, is organizing your time. Did you see that video of that one guy that says, like, make your bed every day? This big military guy with like 10 rows of stripes of his, all the medals.
Yeah.
You didn't see it? He has a huge speech. It's like 10 million views or 100 million views on YouTube and stuff. And he's all about make your bed. And he's like,
make your bed in the morning, because then you've done something and you completed it. No matter what, you finish a thing and you can be proud that you made your bed and you are organized and someone's not. He literally talks for like, I don't know, 10 minutes about making your bed. Mm-hmm. And he got like a standing ovation. Everyone's so excited.
I mean, I think it's a big deal that somebody should be not only organized on their time, but they should be organized with their time, with their personal, their what they have going on in their personal life immediately, with their own belongings. I think everything should be organized. I'm not organized fully on the computer, which I also need to handle. But I think that everybody should be fully organized, because then they're going to get more production done.
Yeah.
Whatever that they want to get done in their life, whatever purpose or intention or passion that they have will happen that much faster and that much better if they are organized. And I don't think it should be just one area should be organized. I think it should be all areas being organized. I think you should be organized with your time, as I said, also with your personal possessions. I think that
and your own physical body too.
And your own physical body, your presentation, how you are presenting yourself. I think all of it should be organized. Your hair should be like standing up to here, and your makeup should be like this, and or you should have zero makeup, or and make sure there's boogers all over your face. That's exactly the look that you should have.
So, you know, that was my look.
I know.
You know, in third grade, I just had a lot of snot. I don't know if maybe I was lactose intolerant or something, but I had like a lot of boogers.
Oh yeah.
And I just, the teacher said, when you sneeze, don't sneeze to people. You actually need to like maintain it. She said you can sneeze into your like sleeve.
Oh gosh.
So I sneezed into my sleeve and I would get snot on it.
Okay. So exactly.
I'm serious. And I would have like snot here on my shoulder, like visible.
That's interesting.
I'm serious though. I didn't, but it would dry and like it would disappear.
So make sure it's not just all over your face, but also all over your clothes too.
There's a level, and I tell people, look, if I, at this level, can become a millionaire, so can you.
Okay? Yeah, but it's so we did that together, you. Aaron. You it's realize true. That. There's That's no true. Way that you would have ever done it by yourself.
I don't think it would have taken longer. I think it would have happened. I think it would have happened eventually.
I wouldn't be able to have done it by myself for sure. I know that.
I think you would have done it. It would just, like, let's say it took with 10 years of work, and said maybe it would have taken 30 years of work or 40 years of work or something. At some point, I think it would happen, especially with inflation.
I don't think so, Aaron. You didn't even have the purpose or intention of doing that.
Well, neither did you.
I definitely knew that I wanted to have very nice things from a very little kid. I was already wanting to have a G-Wagon. You didn't even think about a G-Wagon. You thought of the little cube car.
The XB.
Yeah.
It was brilliant. It was
That's not a fucking million-dollar car.
So what? So
okay,
what?
Anyways, but
that's
when that's neither like is a G-Wagon, but the G-Wagon, you need to at least be making $300,000 to even afford the payment on a G-Wagon.
That's what people do nowadays.
I mean, I don't know.
No, people
G-Wagons are like 150.
I know. And people people that make $100,000 will buy a G-Wagon. Guarantee you right now. And that's 30% of their life.
Okay, I wouldn't
earnings.
Do that, guys.
I know, but people do that.
I do not promote that idea.
So all I'm saying is I do think it would have happened. But you will never know. Because that scenario, that alternate reality world did not exist. So we would never know for sure.
That's true.
We can only assume.
That's right.
Okay.
Okay.
All right, guys. Thank you for listening. Thank you for watching.
Thank you for listening to our bantering.
Yeah.
Funny.
And if you have, please, this is free. We do this actually absolutely.
Entertainment is free.
We get nothing out of this except seeing if we could share our lives with you a little bit. So if you could change someone else's life, someone else's business life, someone else's personal life with something that we're sharing here, share the podcast with them. You know, it might take only a minute for you, but it actually might be something that changes their entire viewpoint and actually puts them in another route on their life. So take a minute, share this, give us a review on Spotify, on iTunes, on wherever, and help share the word, because you know what? We're doing this for you guys, and hopefully, I mean, we've got messages. Some of you guys love it. And if you have any specific questions, write in, message us, go to the website, aaroncordovas.com. Make a contact form and say what you want to talk about, because we will.
Exactly. Okay. Thank you.